At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers game. Good Monday morning to you, Gil Alexander, just like the man said right there. And of course, on a Monday during football season, this is Guessing Lines, our tribute to the old Stardust show of the same ilk. Our first exercise, our first approach towards next weekend's NFL lines. And, of course, the show would not be what it is without my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, right behind me. And he is right next to me. How you doing?
I'm doing great, pal.
Let me guess. One of these weekends that you got the worst of it behind the desk.
It was not a banner day for us.
Yes.
Sunday. Saturday was okay. Yeah. Saturday was pretty good. Sunday, not so good.
How did the Bowling Green outright upset? Did somebody have a ticket on that?
We had $50 total on Bowling Green on the money line.
So you managed, in other words.
Yeah, we opened on Sunday.
Well, you know, and of course, yesterday, it seemed like if you didn't go 4-1 in the contest,
yeah,
you lost ground. And it also was one of those days where every teaser seemed to hit.
You know, I talked about it. I forget what show it was on, but it's kind of like the dichotomy that we as odds, I'd throw myself in there too, I guess. You know, but as the NFL numbers have gotten better and better, like in the last 30 years, it's made us more vulnerable to teasers.
Yes.
You know, because we are much closer to the outcome than we were back in the old days. And, you know, back in the old days, you know, the fields weren't as good. There's a lot more, you know, variables as far as, like, you know, now, you know, if you're a football player, it's 365 days a year. Back then, those guys were selling, you know, their beer distributors in the off season and all that. So there was, you know, it wasn't as formful as it is today. So there's a lot of form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the occasional aberration, but, you know, teasers are not a bad strategy.
Yeah, they all seemed, all the teaser legs, all the ones, maybe Tampa Bay, maybe that was one that didn't.
There was a couple.
Yeah, if people got Tampa Bay early in the week, maybe that didn't hit, but everything else really did. Okay, here's the thing about guessing lines, and we say this week after week. We do this, it's first impression. I'm in a cocoon since yesterday, and yeah, this ain't the look-ahead line show, which, by the way, is a whole nother fallacy that I could do 30 minutes on.
Mm.
But this is the show where I think your first impressions heading into the previous week oftentimes are the best. Last week, the two lines I didn't like were Arizona -7.5 at, yep, Jacksonville. I thought that was too light, and I think that was proven yesterday to be a correct call. The other one was the Chargers getting the 6.5 against the Chiefs. A lot of turnovers. Couldn't have anticipated that necessarily, but the Chargers win it outright. So we'll see if the same result happens this week. Shall we start with Thursday, Jeffrey Parlay? By the way, producer number 8 is here.
Good morning, guys.
Hello,
and we,
sir,
start with a doozy on Thursday night. The aforementioned Jacksonville Jaguars on the road at the Cincinnati Bengals.
We're in that window where they don't send the games to the networks, simulcast them. So NFL Network gets the worst of these. Jacksonville loses to the Cardinals, as mentioned, and they lose in the end 31-19 in a game that really wasn't that close. It required a Jamal Agnew 109-yard return off a Matt Prater missed 68-yard field goal attempt to go up 13-7 before the half. Without that touchdown, this is even worse. They did have an 8-play drive, all rushes to go up 19-10, did the Jaguars, but that was it. Trevor Lawrence, 22 of 34 for 219, one touchdown, two picks, one an awful pick six that changed this game. Sacked three times, he lost a fumble, 6 for 27 on the ground. Urban Meyer did rediscover James Robinson, which is probably good for the Jaguars, 15 carries for 88 yards and a touchdown. He caught 6 for 46. But the Jaguars were 2 of 11 on third downs. They were minus 3 in turnovers. The pick six flipped the game, as I mentioned, late in the third quarter. 35 seconds left at their own 25, 29 yards to the house for Byron Murphy Jr., and that was the end for the Jaguars yesterday. Cincinnati, they beat Pittsburgh. Oh, got to get your feeling on your Pittsburgh Steelers here, Chrissy. Joe Burrow, 14 of 18. He only threw the ball 18 times. 14 of 18 for 172, three touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked zero times. First career road win for Burrow. Joe Mixon, 18 of 90 on the ground. Jamar Chase, 4 for 65, including two more touchdowns. That's 4 for Jamar Chase in the first three games of the season. Only 12 first downs for Cincinnati the whole game. They had 10 penalties for 89 yards and still managed to beat your Steelers by 14 on the road. Cincinnati minus 6.5, I'll say.
Here comes Parlay. Parlay. What did he say before the show?
He called it before the show.
Yeah. You're a little light, Gil.
he said that would be the theme today.
Yeah, that's the first theme. You know,
he has access to my guesses and your lines, probably, or what you're thinking you're putting.
Well, anybody out there playing guessing lines bingo, there's your first, put your little corn kernel on that one. It's 7.5 pretty much everywhere. I got to tell you, my power ratings come to 10. Now, that's a little high, but I got to say a couple things. First of all, I've knocked Zach Taylor. That's the coach of the Bengals. I've knocked him mercilessly. Maybe he's starting to figure it out a little bit. You know, I mean, he was a rookie coach, terrible, had this quarterback, Joe Burrow, who I think is going to be a really good player. Maybe he's kind of figured it out a little bit because, to me, they looked very good against the Steelers. Not just the Steelers looked terrible, which they did, but I think they looked pretty good. The Jaguars, I mean, we have two other teams I'm going to mention that look like complete disasters, and Jaguars being one of them. It's 7.5 pretty much everywhere. I'm going to go ahead and open 8. Somebody wants to make me a bet and take the 8. God bless them. That's going to be the only 8 out there, so you can go ahead and grab that off me, but I think this is going to be first of all, I think people bet the Bengals. You know the way bettors are; they only remember the last thing they saw, and they saw the Bengals dominate the Steelers. And like you said, the Jaguars that game really wasn't as close as the score would indicate. So I'm going to use 8 on this game. I kind of like the. I don't know if I'd like it enough to bet it, but I like the higher number.
I assume when you say the other two teams, what we're talking about is the holy trinity of the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Jets. I would imagine.
Bingo. There's another bingo. Yeah.
So I wonder, when we talk about Survivor, and I had Carolina. No one lost in Survivor either this week, by the way. No one basically, but it was. You wonder, last year the Jets were the team that everybody picked on. Even though the Jaguars lost along with the Jets last year, they weren't the pick-on team because they showed up every week and they would scare you.
Yeah.
I wonder of these three teams, the Jaguars, the Jets, and the Texans, who will emerge as the pick-on team the rest of the way? Because right now it's looking like all three.
Yeah, right now it's looking like all three. I don't know how many wins those three teams are going to combine for this year. I mean, it's bad. The only part is the Jaguars and the Texans play each other twice.
That's right.
You know, so somebody's going to wind up with a win or two.
Something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
All right. I was light on that. For sure I was light. All right, Jeff.
All right. Another doozy.
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. The Washington football team on the road at the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, this isn't much better, huh? Both Washington.
It's a little better.
It's a little better. Washington and Atlanta are both 1-2. I had to keep reminding myself that the Falcons won that game yesterday.
Yeah.
Like I completely tuned out of it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they won. Someone had to win. Washington gets housed by Buffalo. Taylor Heinicke, 14 of 24 for 212, two touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked once, 8 carries for 21 yards, and a nice pylon touchdown for Heinicke. Gibson, Antonio Gibson, 12 carries for 31 yards, one catch for 73 yards and a touchdown, also hitting the pylon. Beautiful play by Gibson at the end. But only 13 first downs for Washington. They were 2 of 11 on third down. They were minus 3 in turnovers. Let's put it this way. In the first half alone, Washington allowed 312 yards and 27 points. So there you go. Ball game. Since the start of 20, and they recovered a kickoff that blew back towards them. So, I mean, in many ways, it could have been worse. Since the start of 2018, Washington is 11-5 straight up with Alex Smith, 7-29 in all other games, including the playoffs. And then there's Atlanta, who beat the Giants 70-14. This was my pick for game I would have wanted no part of, and I think I was validated in, at least in that much. Yippee for me. Ryan, Matty Ice, 27 of 36 for 243, two touchdowns, no picks, sacked three times. He looks, how can I put this, Chrissy? Is old the word I'm looking for?
He was the MVP not that long ago.
Cordarrelle Patterson, by the way, six catches for 82 yards. This is a terrible game, too. I want to say, and maybe this is the Washington boyhood, the boyhood team of mine in me that says this, but I think Washington would be I'll split the difference between a 3 and a pick 'em and say 1.5 in favor of Washington.
Okay, bingo again. I like your number better.
Okay.
I make mine exactly Washington 1.5. That's what my power ratings come to. It's pick. I see a little bit of Atlanta 1. As a matter of fact, I see evenly split between Atlanta 1 and pick 'em. So I'm going to open the game pick 'em, and if anybody wants to play me Atlanta, they can have right at it. I mean, I just see a little bit more out of Washington than I do out of Atlanta right now. Who's the coach of Atlanta? I can't even remember right now.
Arthur Smith.
Oh, Arthur Smith. Yeah. Okay, I keep getting him mixed up with Arthur Blank, who's the owner.
Yeah.
You know, he said after the game, well, I think this, you know, set us straight. We finally got our program underway. We're going to, you know, you'll see good things from here on in. Well, what else do you expect the coach to say? I don't see it myself. They beat a pretty bad team in the Giants. And did Atlanta win or did the Giants lose? And I think I put it more in the category of the Giants lost. So that's why I kind of like, I like Washington a little bit here. I think they deserve to be favored. So I'm going to open the game, pick them. I had another thought in my mind that it just escaped me. Oh, here's the thing I wanted to mention. Between the Giants and the Falcons game, we had nothing all week. Nothing, nothing, nothing. But here we are at the little old South Point. We do everything at 11 to 10. They start taking the 3. I go to 2.5. They lay back to 2.5. Go back to 3. Go back to 2.5. We did so much business on this terrible game.
Wow.
It's incredible. One of the highest volume games of the day, strictly because it was on a number.
Because it was toggling the number.
Yeah.
Interesting. And these are two teams of which I asked Lombardi after week one. I said, after week one, and people, I let the hate wash over me. I was like, is Washington's defense that good? That was 2 weeks ago I asked him that, 10 days ago. And with the Falcons, I said, even if Kyle Pitts becomes a Hall of Famer, did they make a mistake after what we're seeing with Matt Ryan? They needed to draft one of those quarterbacks and just pray that that quarterback ends up well or good for a whole career. We'll see. Two awful games to start the show. We'll do better next, right here at a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews from the South Point Guessing Lines for week number 4 in the National Football League. And thank you to everybody for making the podcast version of this so darn popular the first 2 weeks of the season. Year after year, week after week, we so appreciate it. And really appreciate that it still resonates with the audience. One thing, Chrissy, going back to that Cincinnati game, two just reactions. One, clearly I was light at 6.5, but we've gotten to the point where the Cincinnati Bengals are north of a touchdown favorite over anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other sort of thing is that Cincinnati could very well be a survivor pick this coming week.
I think they're going to be a popular survivor pick because, of course, in Survivor, you can't use a team more than once. I don't see too many situations coming up for using Cincinnati this year, and it's a good way to play them. And, listen, and no, we talked about light, not, light, you know, whatever the number. Come Thursday night, I'm going to need the Jaguars. I could tell you that.
Oh, what a position to be.
No, I can't wait.
Jeffrey, I didn't know what you were saying about your hair, but
we have an NFL trade.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
What do you got?
We have an NFL trade that features a former first-round pick going to Carolina, C.J. Henderson. Jacksonville's been trying to trade all offseason. Finally, he gets a suitor. Henderson's going to Carolina. Dan Arnold and a third-round pick going the other way to Jacksonville.
Now, what does that tell us? That basically the Rams, you know, they need help on their in their secondary. Is it for C.J. Henderson?
Panthers getting
C.J. Panthers. I thought you said the Rams. Panthers. So Panthers need help in the secondary. Panthers have injuries all kinds of places. J.C. Horn obviously breaking his foot. So that's the sort of response to that, I guess, real quick after the J.C. Horn foot injury, which will knock him out, I guess, the whole season. Their rookie, eighth pick in the NFL draft. So C.J. Henderson goes to Carolina in that deal. All right, what's next Sunday morning, sir?
We have started this show with a whole bunch of doozies here. Detroit at Chicago.
Oh, man. All right, we'll get...
But before we get in it, let me say this.
Yes.
The worst game on the board last week produced some fantastic action.
Yes.
Yeah, the Giants and the Falcons. So even though they're terrible football games,
right,
they are bettable.
Right.
They're bettable.
So Detroit, this just in, loses to Baltimore, in case you missed it. Jared Goff was 22 of 30 for 217. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. DeAndre Swift did most of the damage for Detroit's offense. 14 carries, 47 yards, a touchdown, 7 catches for 60 yards. Even threw a pass. It was incomplete. But Detroit ends up losing to Baltimore in just the most gut-wrenching of all fashions. Detroit gets the go-ahead field goal on Baltimore to go up 17-16. And then their defense goes to work and ends up putting Baltimore in a 4th-and-19 situation deep in their own territory with the clock, you know, ticking down. They didn't mortar kick, by the way, first non-mortar kick comment of the day. They didn't mortar kick after their go-ahead field goal to make it 17-16. But on 4th-and-19, they give Lamar Jackson all the time he needed, all the time in the world, and he found his receiver. And first down, they get up and they're able to, you know, get to convert that, and then actually have a play before the final attempted game winning field goal, where the CBS clock anyway goes down to zero on the play clock. And if the CBS clock was in fact in sync with the actual play clock, and I have heard nothing to the contrary about that, then the refs miss an absolute delay of game in what would be at that point a Justin Tucker 66-yard field goal. And if they call that delay of game, it would have to be a 71-yarder, and they would probably just throw a Hail Mary at that point. They miss it. Lamar Jackson throws an incomplete pass. Then they bring out Justin Tucker to kick the 66-yarder. That has never been converted in the history of the National Football League. What happens? We all know. Justin Tucker, the greatest kicker perhaps in the history of the NFL, and a guy who deserves probably to have this record, does a little extra hop in his setup, booms it, and it hits the crossbar and bounces over.
Yeah.
And the Ravens win. By the way, Ravens teasers end up coming home and often with that as well. And it's the longest kick not only in the history of the NFL, they win the game in the most dramatic of fashion. And we were even debating yesterday, was that more unbelievable of a survivor win than the Oakland Raiders Henry Ruggs catch over the Jets last year? And we determined, yes, it was, because the field goal has never been kicked that long. They missed the delay of game, and they converted a 4th-and-19.
Yeah.
So you put all that in the mix, that's even more unbelievable. So if someone wins Circus Survivor this year with the Baltimore Ravens yesterday, they're living right. Were we talking about Detroit anyway? Oh, yeah, we're talking about Detroit. So Detroit loses. Detroit's 0-3. Who are they playing? Chicago?
Bears.
Oh, boy. Justin Fields, 6 of 20 for 68 yards. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 9 times.
Yeah.
When you factor in the sacks, it's 1 passing yard. 1 passing yard. Passing yard echad. That was for my mom. 6 first downs, 1 for 11 on third down, 0 of 1 on fourth downs, 47 total yards. They were out time of possession. Chicago was by Cleveland, 39-34 to 20-26. Greg McElroy was sacked 11 times. That was the record for rookies. Here's what I think it will be, and here's what I think it should be. It's going to be the Bears -3, but it should be a pick 'em.
Okay. We're going to, first of all, it's Bears mostly 3.5. I see some 3 -20s and things like that, but mostly 3.5. That's the number. I'm going to open 3. I don't think it should be picked quite, but my power ratings come to 2.5. Now, we've been making fun of Dan Campbell. Seems like a nut job.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to tell you, it works in football sometimes, probably more on the college level than it does in the pro level. But he's really a fired up guy, and I kind of like some of the things I'm seeing out of the Lions. I think they're ready to get a win. They're going into the Bears team right now, I know their coaching staff and general manager got tons of criticism in the offseason. They deserve every minute of it from what I could see. They threw in Justin Fields, and, I know you hear all the talking heads on ESPN. Well, how's he going to learn on the bench? He's got to get in there and play. Well, not if you're going to ruin his career.
That's
and we'll get to the Jets a little later, probably.
Yeah.
But, they were not prepared to give this kid a chance to be good. And I think he has all the ability to be good if they don't ruin him. And I know other people have said it, and I'm going to reiterate it myself. There's more quarterbacks get ruined than get developed. And he right now, they could be ruining this kid. But, I kind of like some of the things I see out of Detroit. I mean, if I was out there betting, I would take 3.5 on Detroit. I'm going to open it 3. They'll probably lay it to me. That's fine. If I go in Sunday and need in Detroit, that's exactly the position I want to be in.
If you give me Detroit with 3 and a hook, I will take Detroit this game. I really will.
I see better things right now. They're ready for a win.
Lamar Jackson got that ball, just to be clear here. Lamar Jackson got that ball to start that drive. And again, no more to kick. With 1:04 left. The 4th and 19 was with 26 seconds left. 36-yarder to Sammy Watkins before the delay of game that was not called.
Yeah, I know we'll get to Baltimore a little later, but Lamar Jackson, what was he, unanimous MVP 2 years ago, I want to say? He looks better now to me as a quarterback. He looks like, I don't know if they worked on his mechanics. His release is much more compact, which is essential in the NFL. He looks like a better quarterback to me now than he was in his MVP season.
Want to squeeze in one here, Jeff?
Yeah, this is an easy one to squeeze in. Jets are hosting the Titans.
The Jets. Zach Wilson, who you wanted to talk about, 19 of 35 for 160 against the Broncos. No touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 5 times. Jets only had 11 first downs, 162 total yards. Were it not for the Bears' unbelievable total yards tally, that would be the worst. 43 rushing yards. They were out time of possession, 35-47 to 24-13. And Tennessee, they end up getting it done yesterday. I'll say Tennessee -6.5 on the road.
Wow, you're way light again. It's 7.5. My power ratings come to 10. I think this Jets team is just so abysmally bad. Here's their point total so far. 14-6-0.
So I'm being kind to both the Jaguars and the Jets.
I'm going to open as high as possible. I see 7.5. I don't see any 8s. I'm going to throw up an 8 there, see if anybody wants to grab that. I said my power ratings come to 10, and everything I said bad about Chicago, double it for the Jets. They look completely lost. And Salah, I liked him as a defensive coordinator, and I've said it before. These coaches all sound good on the way in, not so good on the way out. I'm not sure he's on the way out yet, but we'll see.
I got something to say about Mike Vrabel after the break as well. We'll continue guessing lines on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Gil Alexander, Chrissy Anders, Jeff Parlay here as well. Last thing about the Tennessee Jets game, and again, I was light, just like I was light on the Bengals versus the Jaguars. I was light on the Titans at the Jets. North of a touchdown, not south of one. First of all, that Tennessee win yesterday, Tannehill was 18 of 27 for 197, three touchdowns, two picks, sack once, 5 of 56 on the ground. But Derrick Henry was the guy, as he always should be. 28 for 113, also caught three passes for 31 yards. Tennessee won that game yesterday while being minus three in turnovers. I'm talking about their 25-16 win over the Colts. But my comment about Vrabel was, he went for two, up 20-13 yesterday to go up nine, correctly, in my opinion, with Derrick Henry as your lead back. Whereas last week against Seattle, he had a chance to win it in regulation, and he opted not to. He kicked the extra point and then won it in overtime. So I thought it was the right decision yesterday, and I questioned the decision last week. He's ended up being right both times.
Yeah, he's living on the right side.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know,
yes.
Sometimes I think he's kind of a caveman, you know, but he comes up with some smart stuff occasionally.
Yeah, I should say he ended up getting validated.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if he was right both times. All right, what's next? Let's get a good game here, Jeff. What do we got?
I'll try my best here. The rotation numbers haven't been kind to us so far.
No.
The Browns at the Vikings.
Okay, let me just say up front, I have this as a pick 'em because I didn't know what else to say here, Chrissy. But the Browns, we talked about the Browns win over the Bears yesterday. They moved the football for 88 yards in the first quarter with 0 points yesterday against the Bears. They had 2 fourth and shorts that resulted in sacks. A 4th and 5 of the Chicago 38, a 4th and 5 of the Chicago 24. So it could have been worse. The Browns ended up beating the Bears 26-6. And we already talked about how poor the Bears were. In a total yards tally for the Bears, again, 47 total yards. That is not likely to be, what's the opposite of topped? Bottomed.
Bottomed.
Okay. This year.
We can go with that.
Okay. I don't know if that's the right. That show got a little different there for a second. Mayfield, 19 of 31 for 246, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked 5 times himself. Odell, 5 catches for 77. Kareem Hunt, 10 carries for 81 yards. Touchdown, 6 catches for 74. Nick Chubb, 22 carries, 84 yards. I mentioned Justin Fields was sacked 9 times. Myles Garrett had half of them, 4.5. And they outgained Chicago 418-47, out first downed them 26-6. It was just a blowout. And then Minnesota gets off the schneid. They win. Remember, they could have been 2-0. They were 2 plays away from being 2-0. Instead, they were 0-2. Kirk Cousins playing the best ball of his career. 30 of 38 for 323, 3 touchdowns, no picks, sacked once in Minnesota's win yesterday. 8 touchdowns, no picks this season. 17th straight game now for Kirk Cousins. Listen to this. 17th straight game with a 90-plus passer rating. The only streak longer than that is Peyton Manning at 23. Alexander Mattison. What's your name, man? Alexander Mattison, 26 carries for 112 yards. That's for the Hamilton people out there.
I thought so.
Justin Jefferson, 9 catches for 118 yards and a touchdown. Tyler Conklin, 7 for 70 to touchdown. The Vikings were 9 of 14 on third down versus the Seahawks in their 30-17 win, 453 total yards. I said a pick. I didn't know what to say here. Cleveland at Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, my power ratings come to Minnesota 1. So I can't really dicker with the pick, although what I see right now is the Browns won. As I'm going over my power ratings last night, the Browns, they're not quite there yet. You know, they might be by the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I like their roster,
and
love
you,
the coach.
You want to put them there. But
I want to put them there.
Yeah.
They just, for the things I look at, they're just not quite there yet to be in that highest echelon. I am just a little notch below that. I think Minnesota's playing pretty good, and they needed a win like that. I like them. A microscopic favorite as a 1-point favorite. I see Cleveland 1. I even see a 1 with some juice and some 1.5. We're kind of too close here. So I'm going to go ahead and open Cleveland 1.
And that was Alexander Mattison in for Dalvin Cook, who was scratched before the game.
Oh, so, I thought you were going back to Hamilton.
No. They already got their Hamilton fix. Okay. I could do more if you'd like me to. The King song later on the show. What's next, Joe?
Not throwing away any shots here today. Next up, we have the Colts at the Dolphins.
Colts at the Dolphins. This was another one when I was guessing these where I'm like, wow, am I going to do the lazy thing and have a couple pick-ems? And the answer is yes. I didn't know what to do here either, so I made this a pick-em. This is the pick-em segment. Colts, Wentz ended up playing yesterday. 19 of 37 for 194 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. The Colts were +3 in turnovers yesterday against Tennessee. There were two picks from Ryan Tannehill that led directly to 10 of Indy's points. So I don't really know, like, if you can leave that game yesterday thinking that well of Indianapolis. And then there's Miami. Miami loses to the Raiders in overtime, 31-28. I have no idea how Miami covered this game and actually had a chance to win. No idea, watching this thing. Jacoby Brissett, though, a fourth down marvel. You can't stop Jacoby Brissett. You can only hope to contain him. 32 of 49 yesterday for 215. There was a point in that game, I believe, where he had 20 completions for less than 100 yards, which is really a feat. But he ends up 32 of 49 for 215. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked two times. He had 7 carries for 37 yards and a touchdown, including a fourth down, a touchdown run that after the two-point conversion sent this one to overtime. Mike Gesicki, 10 catches for 86. Jalen Waddle, 12 for 58. Miami led that game 14-0, end up losing in overtime. They scored the first 14. They gave up the next 25, tied it on the fourth down run, touchdown run by Jacoby Brissett to force overtime. Traded field goals in overtime as well. Jacoby Brissett converted a 4th and 20 as well in that overtime. Anyway, Indianapolis at Miami. I'll say pick 'em. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami's a tick of a favorite, but I said pick 'em.
Yeah. My power ratings come to Miami 3. By the way, the line is pretty much 1.5 everywhere. I do see 1-2. It's more a reflection of my power ratings. It more is a reflection on how bad the Colts are. Mm-hmm. I think right now, Wentz, I don't know. I mean, if we talked about Matt Ryan being the MVP a couple years ago, Wentz was on the verge of being the MVP before he got hurt with, what, about 3 games left in the season, I think. But he is not the same, And after the game, Frank Reich, the coach, was saying, well, he's 70-80%, but that still gave us the best chance to win. Whew. I mean, to me, I follow a couple guys out of Indianapolis, a couple sports writers, and they talk about just how bad the roster is in general. Like I said, I see 1.5 and 2. I'm going to open 2 Dolphins, but it's more, like I said, more of downgrading the Colts than praising the Dolphins.
Yeah. My picks have been pretty bootsy so far in this show. Ultimately now, when you see Jacoby Brissett play a full game where he's had preparation, how do you feel about the Tua now to Jacoby transition?
Well, it's still worth a little something, no doubt about it, I think, because there's a couple factors here. It seems like Miami has soured on Tua. I mean, just seems like that.
Just feels like they're not, like, going out of their way to be supportive kind of thing.
And the other thing that really means something to me as a bookmaker, lots of wise guy money showed up on Miami yesterday. Mm. While they're winning, not sure how sometimes, but I kind of have to respect the line move and how some very sharp handicappers were on Miami. And maybe not the best situations. I thought the number should have been higher with Brissett in instead of Tua. And Raiders are playing some pretty good football. But money showed on Miami, and they got the dough.
You don't ever, after you say, okay, wise guy money came in Miami, you don't ever, like, talk to them after they make the bet, before the game, or after the game itself? You don't ever have a conversation with any of them, do you?
Well, that, you know, never and any. That, those are big words. You know, so occasionally. I didn't on this game in particular. I did not.
I wonder how many of those bettors on Miami after that game would be honest enough to say we had no business covering that game.
Well, you know, I'm going to quote my good friend Roxy Roxborough. Every bettor thinks it's his God-given right to win every bet he's ever made in his life.
That's right.
That is so much true.
Yeah. As it is, Raiders end up winning it by three. But as someone told me this morning in the parking lot, they're like, oh, man, the Raiders, man. I was like, they won. I was like, yeah, but I gave the hook. Okay. We'll continue guessing lines week number four. So far, the one that I like the best, I think if Chicago's 3.5, Detroit is the one I like the best.
Yeah, me too.
But you're posting three, you said.
I'm posting three here.
Okay. So. And for this one, what did you end up posting?
I'm going to use a Dolphins 2.
Dolphins 2. Okay. We'll come back. We'll continue with the early games, week four, guessing lines with Chris Andrews right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews. We get tweets. At beating the book, Trip Tepper. Niners with another late game kickoff gaffe. If they mortar kick and allow time to run off the clock, Packers might not get that last second field goal. Oh, we haven't gotten there yet, Trip Tepper. I already mentioned the mortar kick and the lack thereof with the Lions, but yeah, that's coming. This is from the Charitable Gambler. Week four guessing lines about to start. This is right before the show. He says, it's such a good show for anyone who takes this sort of thing even mildly seriously. They were 2-1 in games last week when in strong agreement that disagreed with the openers. Thank you for that, Charitable Gambler. Very kind. Asian Lebowski, after the first segment, was like, you'll only do better if Detroit versus Chicago isn't the next game. And it was. D-Gen, Southern Gen, I always love Mondays because I know Chrissy Andrews is crossing party lines and allows us to glean information that we as bettors can benefit from, like today with him mentioning how sharper NFL lines over time have increased the book's teaser exposure. Folks are taking notes. Let's see. Should I Ron Burgundy through some of these? Let's see where this goes. PJ Podiatron. I heard Chrissy Andrews on another show talking about hopefully making a few bucks after the weekend regarding betting on football. Almost choked since they make millions every month without blinking an eye. Just saying.
Mm. Oh, what? You mean I should take my job seriously? Yeah. And, what an insult.
Jeez. Okay, and on and on.
By the way, the Dolphins are climbing, as I see. The 1.5 flat, two of them still out there. It's on the rise.
On the rise.
I think, my number was better.
All right, Jeff, a couple more in the morning. What do we got?
All right, this is intriguing. 3-0 Carolina on the road at the sight unseen in week three, Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, so, yeah, Dallas hasn't played. They play tonight against Philadelphia. So Carolina is without Christian McCaffrey here, which matters. Carolina, extra rest. Remember, they beat the Texans on Thursday night. Darnold was 23 of 34 for 304. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. He was 8 of 11 on the ground for 2 touchdowns. But he did have 2 fumbles that Carolina landed on. So those of us who had Carolina and teasers and a survivor, there's a lot of fumble luck involved, but everyone was gushing about Sam Darnold after that game. I was like, he did fumble twice, didn't he? DJ Moore, 8 catches, 126. But the hamstring injury to McCaffrey early was the story, and then Dallas hasn't played. But without McCaffrey, I mean, I guess as far as non-quarterbacks are concerned, that matters about as much as anything. So Dallas, again, barring injury or barring something outlying tonight, they can't be less than 4.5, right? I'll say Dallas minus 4.5 because people love the Cowboys too. That's got to be factored in.
Yeah, they do, but I'm trying not to let that influence me. My numbers come to 3.5. I see it 4 and 4.5, mostly 4.5. So your number, I'm not sure. I like yours better than mine. I'll tell you what, Matt Rhule, this guy, I think, is an excellent coach.
Excellent coach.
I mean, everywhere he's gone, where he started Temple.
Oh, that was it, Jeff. I was trying to think before the show, right? I was thinking, like, yeah. I've been proven right on the mortar kicks, right, as yesterday twice showed, and I'm also, someone got after me last week because I had the audacity to say, hey, let's see if Dabo's actually a good coach.
Read my articles on VSiN, which I said it right then, are we starting to figure out Dabo Sweeney is not a good coach?
So, and the reason,
by the way, read my articles on VSiN.
Yes, they're so good. Yeah, they're so good.
I get a little help from Jeff Folk.
Yes,
you know, who actually puts my thoughts and edits them.
Jeff DMs them to me, so I read them because I'm, you know.
I said that.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. And and the reason that was triggered because of what you said about Matt Rhule. Yes, that's a guy who won at Temple. That's a guy who won at Baylor. That's a guy who's winning at Carolina. That's a proven good coach without a recruiting advantage.
Right. He took over Baylor after their disaster. Yes. You know, so he didn't walk into like a great situation. Like I say, they always sound good on the way in, not so good on the way out. This guy's good on the way in, and he's going to be even better, I think, on the way out. This guy is one hell of a coach. Now, that being said, I tweeted out the other day, Darnold still does not know how to protect the ball.
Doesn't know how. And it's terrifying every time he drops back.
Jeez, oh man. You would think at some point, because a kid has a ton of talent, but you got to protect the ball.
Yeah.
Anyway, my numbers come to 3.5, and that's with the McCaffrey injury. You know, I'll probably open 4.5, just, you know, sight unseen tonight on Dallas. And, you know, like the McCaffrey, you've said it a million times, fills up the stat sheet. What are they going to be without him? I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's amazing how many things are said on this show that receive a lot of hate, and then within 2-3 weeks, there's quiet out there. Because it's like, oh, maybe it wasn't so outlandish to have said what was said. Jeff, what's next?
The best team of New York, the Giants, go on the road to the Saints.
It's the Jets fan bringing out the games.
The power of negative thinking.
The 0-3 Giants. And again, I have to keep reminding myself who won that game, the Falcons-Giants, because it's a total tune-out game. Daniel Jones led them to a 14-7 lead. I'll say that much. He was 24 of 35 for 266 in that loss to the Falcons, that three-point loss. No touchdowns, no picks. How many of these quarterbacks am I like, no touchdowns, no picks? Sacked twice. Saquon, 16 carries, 51 yards and a touchdown in that loss to Atlanta. New Orleans, the schizophrenic New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Great opening week, horrific second week. Here they are in week three. I don't know what to make of this win over the Patriots. 28-13 winners over the Patriots. Jameis, 13 of 21 for 128. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. When you tally up Jameis Winston's passing yards in weeks 1, 2, and 3, it comes out to 387.
I was going
to
say, did he break 300 yet?
He has finally broken 300. It only took 3 weeks. He's actually creeping up on 400, I'll have you know. Alvin Kamara, 24 carries, 89 yards, three catches for 29 and a touchdown. There was more Taysom Hill yesterday, 6 carries for 32 yards and a touchdown, but only 252 total yards, and they were +3 in turnovers. That was the real story of that game. The Saints were +3 in turnovers, and it was Mac Jones, which we'll get when we get to the Patriots, we'll go through his turnovers, but that's what this story of this game was. And so the Saints roll them. I got this one wrong, by the way. This was one of my losses. I was 3-2 yesterday, and at 3-2, I sunk behind further. But, like, I don't know what to make of this other than the Giants are so bad. I guess the Saints are 7-point favorites.
Well, you're light. I'm heavy. It's 8. I see a little 8.5, but 8 is a predominant number. You know, my power ratings come to 11. You know, but since we're playing guess the lines bingo, here you go. Diminishing returns makes its first appearance.
Yes.
So I hate to give too much, you know, especially, you know, home teams. I'm still not giving much for home teams. By the way, home teams against the spread yesterday where I think we're, or for the weekend, we're 7-8 going back to Thursday's game. So that automatic 3 is, you know, not valid anymore. I'm going to open 8. I don't want to mess with this too much. You know, even though my power ratings come higher, you know, I think that's an okay place to start. Well, I have a feeling this is going to go up. The Giants are just terrible, but New Orleans is, you know, as inconsistent a team as I've seen so far this year.
And we do not consider the Giants, even though they're 0-3. We don't 0-3. We don't put them in the same category as the Jets or the Texans or the Jags quite yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. And then we'll get to the Patriots. Right now, as we have 3 weeks behind us, I know there's a Philly-Dallas game tonight, but of the 5 rookie quarterbacks, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, who got in for a touchdown run yesterday, Trevor Lawrence, and Zach Wilson, are we feeling great about any of them?
Great? No. No.
Great. That's why I use that word.
Yeah, great, no. No, I think...
Good, maybe.
I think we see some flashes of possible greatness. How's that sound? But nothing great yet.
Mac Jones could be great.
How about Fields?
Fields could be. The thing is, like, Zach Wilson has no time.
I feel sorry for that kid.
I mean, Justin Fields got sacked 9 times. They have a pretty suspect offensive line, too.
Terrible.
Trevor Lawrence might have looked the worst of the bunch thus far.
You and I have talked about this.
Yes, I brought it up all offseason. Are we so sure he's generational?
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
And then in the case of Trey Lance, he's barely seen the field. What happened to the great Trey Lance?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, it's only
too early to tell. But Trey Lance is another one. Maybe.
But great, we're not feeling about any of them at this point.
Boy, they overrate these quarterbacks every year. They move way up in the draft, in front of where they should be.
People go, perhaps justifiably, quarterback crazy.
Yeah. But then we go back a year to Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I think this kid's going to be a star. Well, if he gets good coaching, the jury's out.
The Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Kiniella, we may never see again. That those guys are so, like, Justin Herbert? I guess it's not Mahomes. Who do you start a franchise with besides Justin Herbert?
He'd be the second choice.
Yeah. We'll get to all those guys coming up. Still like Detroit. If you find a 3.5, that's the one I like.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Yes, I am. Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Chrissy Andrews is here as well. We have a tweet from Tim Johnson. Neither you or I heard this, Chrissy. But he says, come on, Gil, give Jeff some acknowledgement of his Hamilton reference. We didn't even catch it that after my Hamilton reference, you gave a Hamilton reference. What was it?
We're not throwing away any of our shots
yet. Oh, I didn't hear it. Sorry.
Acknowledgement given. Yeah. Good on Tim for actually hearing it.
Consider acknowledgement given. Well done, Jeffrey. All right. We're still in the morning. 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, week 4.
Yes. Chiefs at Eagles.
For those tuning in, we're guessing lines. Tribute to the old Stardust show. Our first look at the upcoming weekend lines in the National Football League. I've been in a cocoon. Remember last week, my reactions were Arizona. That line is off. The Chargers line is off. Those ended up working out. What is the game again? I'm sorry, Jeff.
Chiefs at Eagles.
Sorry. Got distracted. Chiefs at Eagles. Eagles sight unseen. They play the Cowboys tonight. You gotten a lot of action on that game tonight?
Tons. Mostly on the Eagles.
Mostly on the Eagles. Yeah. Catching, what, 3.5?
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Down to three.
Chiefs lose to the Chargers, and oh boy, that was another one. Between the Baltimore-Detroit finish, the Green Bay-San Francisco finish, and this Chargers-Chiefs finish, and we'll get to the Chargers, but Chiefs end up losing to the Chargers 30-24, lose outright as 6.5 for 7-point favorites in the end. Mahomes was 27-44 for 260, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Remember before last week he had never thrown a September pick? Now he's got 3. Was sacked twice, 4 carries for 45 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 17 carries for 100 yards. He lost a fumble. Travis Kelce, 7 catches for 104. 33 first downs for the Chiefs. They were 6 of 10 on third down, but they were -4 in turnovers, and that's all that matters.
Sure. Tough to win.
Unless you're
playing the Colts.
Unless you're playing the Colts, that's right. And then you can overcome a -3. Turnovers on the first 3 possessions, as a matter of fact. There was the no-look pass just outside of the red zone in the first quarter on a 2nd and 6. Mahomes doing that no-look thing.
Yeah.
Getting a little too frisky.
A little bit.
Then Tyreek Hill fumbled inside the red zone later in the first quarter. That led to a Chargers 6-0 lead because Tristan Biscaino missed a point after touchdown. Portent of things to come here on the show. And then the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble at the Chargers 33 led to a Chargers 14-0 lead. And then, of course, the 4th and final one, fast forward all the way to the 4th quarter, with 1:55 left, a Patrick Mahomes interception. 2nd week in a row where he has thrown a really, really bad pick to change the outcome of the football game. And that led, of course, to the game-winning Chargers touchdown drive, which we will autopsy when we get to the Chargers, which was just out of control for all kinds of reasons. I'll say the Chiefs, I put no man land without the Eagles having played yet. I said Chiefs -5.5 on the road.
Well, I like your number better. Here we go. It's first of all, my power ratings come to the Chiefs 4. We'll talk about that in a second. But the number out there is 5.5 and 6. 5.5 with a lot of juice. I see 1 5.5 flat. But 6 is really the predominant number. I'm opening 5.5. You know, when I was going through my power ratings again, adjusting them. You know, we say this every year. And the Super Bowl loser comes out the next year, and they're a great bet against team. And but what do we say every year? This year's going to be different.
Yeah.
This year's going to be different.
It's just going to be different.
And it's almost never, you know, I try never to say never. Always and never try to leave those out of your vocabulary. You know, but how often does it happen? How many one-score games were they in last year and won most, just about all of them?
I remember saying to Aaron Schatz, I was like, oh, they play up and down to their competition. He was like, oh, maybe they're just not that good.
Yeah, maybe they're just not that good. Now, here they are. I mean, my number came to four. And I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of money, a lot of sharp money on the Eagles tonight. Six is too high. And I don't know who's going to win the game. God only knows.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, that number is too high. The Chiefs, I have downgraded. And, I mean, to me, if I was out there betting, they'd be a bet against team for me for the time being.
Their defense is miserable. They're in last place, sole possession of last place in the AFC West. I know it's only three games, but they're in sole possession of last place. How many people had that?
I don't know, but you're always catching value betting against them,
yes,
too, because the number is always inflated.
We had this conversation. You remember last week, Jeff and I was like, yeah, but in the end, the Chiefs never cover. The other thing about this game, and I was going to save it for the Chargers part, but I might as well mention it here. What's the deal with the Chargers not, like, returning picks? Like, choosing not to advance interceptions? They, like, there was two of them. What? One in the first quarter, the no-look one, where dude just, like, you know, stayed on the ground.
Yeah. And the one where his teammate was trying to pick him up.
That was
yeah,
the
you
one.
Can run.
That
you
was
can
the
run.
One. The one where Derwin James was trying to pick him up, and he just sort of sat there. And then the one, you know, in the fourth quarter with less than 2 minutes left, they refused to advance the interception either. So what's that all about? It was a little quirky thing that the announcers didn't bring up yesterday. We'll get to the Chargers, though. What's next, Joe?
Last of the 1 o'clock Eastern games, Texans at Bills.
Oh, man. Well, let me just say in advance, I'm going to be a little light on this, judging by the theme of this show. I was light in the fade of the Jaguars. I was light in the fade of the Jets earlier with Tennessee. Houston, extra rest. Well, we can say that much, can't we? Extra rest for the Houston Texans in this ballgame. Thursday night, remember, they lost to the Carolina Panthers. Davis Mills was 19 of 28 for 168, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked four times. Brandon Cooks, professional player, 9 catches for 112. But they were only 1 of 9 on third down, and that was against Carolina. 193 total yards, only 42 rushing yards against Carolina. Now it's the Bills at Buffalo. Sean McDermott, 31-3. Make it 32-3 when leading at the half in the regular season. Since 2017. Bills on Washington scored on 7 of their first 9 drives yesterday. 4 touchdowns, 3 field goals. That's pretty good. Josh Allen, 32 of 43 for 358. 4 touchdown passes, no picks. He was not sacked. And he carried the ball 4 times for 9 yards for a 5th touchdown. He's never done that in his career. Cole Beasley, 11 catches for 98. Emmanuel Sanders, 5 of 94. 2 touchdowns. The Bills were 9 of 15 on third down. Once again, Washington's defense couldn't get anybody off the field. 481 total yards, and they were plus 3 in turnovers. All of that to say. See, my guess is 14.5, and now I know that that's light. So how high can you go? Can you get to 17? That would be the question. And the answer is, because I'll say 14.5 is what my actual guess was.
You're way light.
What is it, 17.5?
It's 17.5. I see 117 out there. I mean, my power ratings come to 20.5. Now, again, here we go.
Yeah.
Guessing the lines, bingo. Diminishing returns, uh-huh. You know, the little high. But the coach, I don't even know the guy's name for Houston. He looks totally lost.
David Culley? You don't know his name?
Well, now I do.
He's phenomenal.
He's totally lost.
Oh, analytics.
The Bills, I mean, they're a buzzsaw right now. I don't know. I mean, still, 17's a lot. You could lose a game in the NFL by 17,
sure.
14, and never have any kind of prayer to win that game. I'm going to open 17.5, though. Like I said, my power ratings, I knew, was just too high. You can't open 20.5 in an NFL game because they'll probably just step off the gas at some point. But I got the Bills rated as high as anybody in the league right now. And I have to give a mea culpa. I thought that there was a chance that they could regress a little bit this year. You know, Josh Allen, I just wasn't sure he was that good last year. I mean, could he maintain it? So far, so good, I would say. And that defense is really, really good. good coaching staff and all that too. I have them atop the table.
Yeah. I think Sean McDermott got as close to a snub. I mean, not that Kevin Stefanski didn't deserve Coach of the Year, but it was between him and McDermott to me. Yeah. So I think if the Bills do win the AFC East, I think McDermott is going to be your Coach of the Year this year, just sort of as a makeup call on that. But that's been the theme of this show. I have been consistently light fading the Texans, the Jets, and the Jaguars,
Yeah. The
holy trinity of suckitude in the National Football League.
Yeah, like I said, I got the Bills atop the table. I'm not sure if I have the Texans or the Jets at the bottom of the table.
Yeah. So I guess they're getting back to Survivor then.
I got Houston at the bottom.
So if we get back to Survivor now, the Bills become, clearly they're going to be the biggest favorite on the board this week. But aren't the Bills a Christmas or a Thanksgiving team?
They're at New Orleans on Thanksgiving.
So for Circa, you have to think twice before using them because of that quirk. So I don't know that I would take Buffalo here
Yeah. As
the bingo square.
There might be better opportunities because of that one strategy.
Yes,
keeping
correct.
Them alive.
That's
Yeah. Right.
Although, on the other hand, yesterday there was a lot of people who had Baltimore who said it was because of that quirk that they only ended up on Baltimore, and that almost lost and should have lost. But again, 4th and 19, delay of game not called, NFL record 66-yarder that doinked off the crossbar and in. Do you agree that that's more unbelievable than the Henry Ruggs play last year? I think it is, given those three things.
But it's hard to say.
It's hard. It's tough.
It's like when you start rating some of your gut punches. Yeah. Which one was worse? I don't know. They're all bad. I don't know.
Yes, Jeff.
Here's the one thing, though, the two differences with that. The way that Baltimore got to the situation where Tucker could even make the kick was every bit as unbelievable as the Ruggs play. As soon as Tucker lined up for it, didn't you think he was going to make the kick no matter how far
100%.
It was?
100%. Plus, they're the Lions, right? Tom Dempsey's 63-yarder that stood for so many years was against the Lions. What was it, the Super 70 sports tweet? They said, God wouldn't even do this to Cleveland. And you could tell Justin Tucker.
Is that right? That's pretty funny.
Super 70 sports, the best consistent comedy on the internet. 17.5? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And if it was later in the year, maybe it'd be even higher than that. But we only have 3 weeks of work to get it to north of 17.5. The haves and the have-nots, the chasm between, as I've said, extending in baseball year after year. Maybe we're getting there with football as well. We'll come back after noon games, week 4 in the National Football League, and then the primetime games, which I know includes the thing that mainstream media is going to be dying over all week. Tampa Bay at New England. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Christy Andrews, my mishpucha, from behind the desk here at the South Point Hotel Casino. We roll into afternoon games on week 4 next Sunday.
The rare time where the national doubleheader games are worse than the regional late games, and we start with the Cardinals at the Rams.
I like that game. That's nice. Cardinals at the Rams. Kyler Murray in that win over Jacksonville, which you talked about earlier, 31-19 win for the Cardinals, spurred on by the Trevor Lawrence pick six. Murray was 28 of 34, only had 6 incomplete passes. One was a pick, actually, so 5 incomplete, 1 pick. 316 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. He was not sacked, 7 carries for 19 yards and a touchdown. James Conner, 11 carries for 43, but 2 touchdowns. A.J. Green, 5 catches for 112. Christian Kirk, 7 catches for 104. 1 of 9, though, on third downs. 2 of 2 on fourth, though, for Kyler Murray and crew. +3 in turnovers. Again, that's the story. If you had access to the turnovers box score at, you know, before these games, that's all you'd need to know. You'd be a millionaire. Rams beat the Bucs. Game of the week. Rams did it and did it in fine fashion. They beat the Buccaneers 34-24. This ended up being a pick. The Bucs were the favorite for most of the latter part of last week, but the Rams get it done 34-24. Matthew Stafford, 27 of 38 for 343. 4 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. DeSean Jackson, welcome back. 3 catches for 120 and a touchdown. His 33rd career touchdown of 50-plus yards. Only Jerry Rice has more with 36. Cooper Kupp, who apparently is unstoppable, 9 of 96, 2 touchdowns. Rams were 10 of 15 on third down. They only had 1 penalty for 4 yards. And Sean McVay now 40-0 when leading at the half. Is that good? 40-0 when leading at the half? Rams will be, so NFC West. clash here. Rams are 3-0. Rams will be 6-point favorites, I'll say.
You're dead on. It's 6. I'm going to open 6. My power ratings come a little lower, like more like 5.5. And like I said, I'm just still skeptical on these home field advantages. I don't give them hardly anybody a full 3. Only 2 teams, like we mentioned, Denver and Green Bay, get the full 3. Nobody else. I think 6 is okay. Like I said, my power rating is a little lower, but I don't want to dicker with that. I think 6 is good. You know, I've been a Kyler Murray skeptic from day one. I've been a Cliff Kingsbury skeptic from day one.
Can we talk about the Cliff Kingsbury thing for a second yesterday? Yeah. So the thing about the Jaguars, it was great. You know, the score was cosmetic ultimately because Jamal Agnew returns that field goal, as we talked about, 109 yards. But at the end of the first half, Cliff Kingsbury, who last year he cost people a lot of bets because of late decision-making, late in games, 68-yard field goal attempt by Matt Prater at the end of the first half is not a optimal decision because there is that possibility that he's not going to make the 68-yarder, which he didn't, and that can happen. And so it was 13-7. Of course, the Jaguars being the Jaguars, they missed the extra point, right? But that's the only reason that was a game at all. And so if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you get away with it, and you just wonder with him, it's like, that's the part of the Cardinals you can't trust.
Yeah, I still say it looks like Kyler Murray's throwing it out of a well sometimes.
Yeah.
Kingsbury I have no faith in. One of the guys, I think it was Ryan Clark on ESPN, said the biggest mismatch you could possibly ever have on an NFL field is when you're returning a missed field goal. Because who's on the field goal kicking team?
Right.
All a bunch of slow offensive linemen.
Massive offensive linemen.
Yeah, and then you got one fast guy on the kick return team. He says that, and we saw, yes, now it happens like, once a decade maybe? Even less than that probably. But it happened yesterday. Didn't cost them, but, anyway, I'm open at 6.
Shades of the Iron Bowl, but
yeah, for sure.
Only at halftime, of course. Okay, other early of the late games, if you will, the 4:05 Eastern starts.
Well, also, too, one last thing. Taking it literally of playing Alabama every week for Urban Meyer with a kick 6 in there at the end as well.
Urban, you are Alabama. Like, you were Alabama. You know, that's the thing. It's like it's like playing Alabama every week. He doesn't process that he was Alabama too, right? Is that the? I wonder if that's the other part of the equation he doesn't sort of finish the thought with.
There's a lot he doesn't get at the NFL level for sure. San Francisco hosting Seattle.
Another NFC West. So 2 NFC West games. Best division in football, we believe. This has got to be 3, by the way. So I'm already going to call my shot here. Seattle, Russell Wilson, 23 of 32 in that Seahawks loss yesterday. 23 of 32 for 298. 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. Chris Carson got established the run. 12 carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. DK Metcalf, 6 catches for 107 and a touchdown. The Seahawks have now allowed in that 30-17 loss to the Vikings yesterday. That's now 2 games in a row where the Seahawks have allowed 30-plus points and 450-plus total yards. Not good. San Francisco last night, oh boy. San Francisco loses to the Packers. If you miss this one, of the 3 fantastic finishes, they're talking about the Ravens and the Lions, the Chiefs and the Chargers, this was every bit as good of a finish. Under Shanahan now, San Francisco 26-10. They fall to 26-10 with Garoppolo as their starting quarterback, 7-27 with all other starters. The Niners were undone in this game by 3 pass interference calls, 3rd-and-4, 3rd-and-6, 3rd-and-2, all of which could have gotten them off the field. That game was, there were way too many flags in this
game.
Way
too many.
It was mired by flags. It was really tough to watch for a long spell until the end. Garoppolo was 25 of 40 for 257, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 4 times. Kittle, 7 catches for 92. Niners were great on third down. They were 7 of 11, but they were -2 in turnovers. So the Niners, through the courtesy of flags, they go ahead with they matriculate the ball down the field, score the go-ahead touchdown with 37 seconds left. A Juszczyk touchdown with 37 seconds left. Green Bay has no timeouts. And at that point, you're saying to yourself, all right, it's Aaron Rodgers. And you have to ask yourself, is there more of a chance? Basically, the conclusion is there's much more chance that Aaron Rodgers scores than you don't score with a chip shot field goal at the end of regulation. But they score with 37 seconds left. And then what do they not do, Jeff? They don't mortar kick. I'll keep saying it. People can let the hate wash over me. So you leave him the full 37 seconds, Aaron Rodgers, that is. Five plays later, and really two plays, Devontae for 25, Devontae for 17. It's a Mason Crosby 51-yard game-winning field goal. Bingo, bango, Packers win 30-28. And that just is another notch in the Aaron Rodgers legend belt. Unbelievable. Niners by three over the Seahawks.
That's what the number is. It's three. I see some two and a halves. Actually, I see both numbers pretty equal right now. I'm going to open three, and I'm going to tell you right now, Seattle is overrated. That team is not nearly as good as they've been the last couple of years, and everybody still has that image in their mind. And I said it before, I love Russell Wilson. I hate rooting against him pretty much every single week of my life.
Straight to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, oh, yeah, first ballot, should be. This team is just overrated. You mentioned right now they've given up how many yards the last two games?
30-plus points, 450-plus yards.
Yeah, this team is not that good. You know, they're not. And I know everybody knocks Jimmy G, as you know, on Twitter last night. Everybody was saying, oh, this, you know, he'll never lead them down to that game-winning touchdown. I mean, that was like the consensus on Twitter. I don't know what the knock is on him. I know he's had some health issues, but other than that, when he's okay, that team wins a lot of games, and you mentioned what their record is with Garoppolo at quarterback. You know, but it's very cool to knock him, and I'm not sure why. But I like the Niners here. This is one of the games I would definitely look to play if I was out there, and there's some two-and-a-halves out there. I mean, it's going to go on record right now. Seahawks are overrated.
Well, I have said many times on a numbers game, and I've certainly said it probably even more on Primetime Action, which I do with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin on MSG Plus, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, which is when the day comes where Russell Wilson can no longer put on his Superman cape and erase all of the flaws of his head coach and of their game management. When that day comes, the Seattle Seahawks will be the franchise that falls off a cliff the most precipitously of any franchise that's out there right now. Because he has made up for so many flaws, both in terms of offensive play calling, just bad late game strategy. And Pete Carroll still has a reputation among many as this really great coach. And it's like, no, man, he has Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson bails that dude out so many times. And when he can no longer do that, and where Father Time is undefeated, when the defense gets so bad that even Russell Wilson can't do that, or if Russell Wilson just gets dinged with injury, if he gets to a certain age, that team will fall off a cliff. I don't know if it's this year, but there's a hint that it could be.
I'm telling you right now, I you know, the things I look at to make my power ratings, this team's overrated. They're not as good. You know, you're saying three, so essentially they're as good as the Niners on a neutral field. They're not. And I give the Niners like 1 point, I think, for home field advantage. Niners are a better team. You know, listen, it's a football game. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Seattle is overrated.
We'll come back. Two more afternoon games, the primetime games. Looking for value. Not sure if I found a whole bunch yet for week four. That might be a good thing, by the way. Never want to be too confident. Coming back on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah.
Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We get tweets, that meaning the book, Craig Parlay. At what point can we expand the Trinity to the four apostles and include the New York football Giants? I said this earlier, Craig. Amazing that the Jets can be power rated ahead of anyone. They are truly awful and unwatchable. Your dad is a defeatist, Jeff, is what he is. Thomas Ross, I listen every week. So great. The graphic is super helpful. Thanks. Thank you, Thomas. Andrew Wren. Your Russell Wilson falling off a cliff analogy is currently happening in Pittsburgh. Oh, that cliff has done falled off.
Ooh, that hurts.
Phil Weiss, who always has something counter to say. Just remember this, Gil. Carroll picked Wilson, and Rodgers' legend belt has only one Super Bowl notch. Just saying. I believe Russell Wilson's only has one as well. Just curious, just checking. Oh, yeah. And then Andrew Wren repeats his Pittsburgh one. Okay. Late afternoon games. What do you got, Jeff? Jeffrey, late
so
afternoon.
So we are going to...
You have one job, Jeffrey Parles.
Sorry. We have things we have to do to make the show look good.
Sorry.
Good game at Mile High here, yes. Ravens at Broncos.
Ravens at Broncos. Oh, that's interesting. Ravens at Broncos. Where will this end up? So Baltimore, we talked about the 66-yarder by Justin Tucker off the crossbar to win the game, also setting the record for the longest field goal in NFL history. And you know what? Justin Tucker should have that record.
He looks like a little twerp, but his leg must be so incredibly strong.
I mean, you couldn't
pick him out of a lineup as being an NFL kicker.
No.
Unless he was kicking 32-yard field goals.
But I've seen twerpier kickers, to use your... By the way, your use of twerp and dicker on this show have been outstanding today. I just want to point that out. Remember, Lamar Jackson converting the 4th-and-19 where the Lions gave him all day long. The delay of game not called, and then the 66-yarder pushed Ravens teasers. They also had a 3rd-and-18 touchdown. Did the Ravens earlier in that game in the second quarter? So a 3rd-and-18 touchdown and a 4th-and-19 conversion on the final drive. And again, the obvious delay of game missed on the previous play. If the CBS Sports clock is in sync with the play clock, which again we haven't heard anything otherwise to tell us that it is not. Lamar, 16 of 31 for 287, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked four times, 7 carries for 58. Mark Andrews is leading receiver, 5 catches for 109. The Ravens were only 1 of 10 on third down against the Lions. Marquise Hollywood Brown did have a couple miserable drops in that game, though. That should not be washed away. Denver crushes the Jets. Your New York Jets, Jeffrey Parlay, 26-0 in a game that felt like it was, I don't know, 52-0. Teddy Bridgewater, 19 of 25 for 235. No touchdowns, no picks, 2 sacks, 4 carries, 24 yards. Melvin Gordon, 18 for 61, a touchdown, 1 catch for 21. And then Tim Patrick, 5 catches for 98. So this is interesting because you have how we felt about Baltimore, you know, traditionally during the offseason. And now how we feel about Denver, if you feel about Denver, 3-0. Remember, though, the Denver Broncos have beaten the New York Giants, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the New York Jets. Let's not get crazy, people.
According to Mr. Parlay.
Yes. 3 of the 4.
Well.
Yeah. 3 of the 4 in the...
He says that the Giants should be in the 4.
That's right.
That should be part of the 4.
So they have beaten the Holy Trinity, is basically what we're saying here. Although the Giants should be in the right 4. But the Craig Parlay, 3 of 4. Denver should not be a 3-point favorite. I will say Denver -2.5 as a nod to that horrific competition.
Yeah, my number's coming to 2.5. It's 1.5. You know, I can kind of see that because of the way Denver has beaten some really downtrodden teams. But I talked about Seattle being overrated. I think Baltimore's a little overrated too. And, you know, we got to talk about Lamar Jackson. I mentioned him earlier. He looks better to me than he did 2 years ago, a more complete quarterback. But he doesn't have much around him. And, you know, they beat the Chiefs, I think, week 2. Is that correct?
Beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, so that was a nice win, certainly. But their other two games, they haven't looked that good. I'm not going to dicker with the – there I go again. With the 1.5, I think that's okay just from a betting standpoint. But I wouldn't be surprised if Denver handles this team. I think their defense is very, very good. I've loved Teddy Bridgewater from back to his college days.
You still have some, indeed.
Have a few questions about the coaching in Denver. But that defense, and you get a solid Teddy Bridgewater, I think they could beat this team. I'm not sure I'd be out there betting it if I were them, if I was out there. But I think 1.5 is okay. But I wouldn't be surprised if Denver handles this team, an overrated Baltimore team.
I would like for folks to bet Denver up to 3. And if you really want to do me a favor, pass the 3, although I know that's asking a lot. But even if you get to 3, I would bet Baltimore plus 3 here.
Okay, I could see that.
Just because Denver hasn't played anybody.
Yeah.
We know nothing about. By the way, that adjustment at DraftKings after week 1 from Denver's season win total of being 8.5 pre-flop to 10.5 immediately is still the most, to me, is the most over-adjusted thing ever. And I get it. They had these 3 early games, but let's not get used to this team. Again, Kansas City's in last place. Denver's in first, along with the Raiders. It's 3 weeks. So you give me the 3, I'll take Baltimore here. What's the last afternoon game here, Jeff?
The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Green Bay Packers.
All right, Chrissy, your Pittsburgh Steelers. They've lost 7 of 9 now, including the playoffs, since starting 11-0 last season. 7 of 9. It's their 10th straight game with fewer than 100 yards rushing. I know we don't care about rushing, but 10th straight game with fewer than 100 yards rushing. Big Ben, 38 of 58, threw the ball 58 times for 318. So 38 completions for 318. One touchdown, 2 picks. He was sacked 4 times. Najee Harris, 14 carries for 40 yards and 14 catches for 102. So 14 of Big Ben's 38 completions and 102 of his 318 were to Najee out of the backfield. Chase Claypool, 9 catches, 96, 10 penalties for Pittsburgh, 73 yards. They lose to the Bengals 24-10. And as we mentioned, Bengals' first road win for Joe Burrow, first time the Bengals had gone into Pittsburgh and beaten the Steelers in 6 years. I don't have to rub it in anymore, Chris. I'm sorry. And then Green Bay, we talked about with that win, that dramatic win against the Niners yesterday. After week 1 and Aaron Rodgers, he didn't use the word relax this time after week 1, but he basically said relax everybody. 2-1. Aaron Rodgers in the first half yesterday was 16 of 18 for 184. 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. He finished 23 of 33 for 261. 2 touchdowns, no picks, sacked once. Devontae Adams, 7 catches, 73 yards, a touchdown in the first half. Finished 12 catches for 132 yards, including those last 2 catches for 17 and 25 yards on that final eventual game-winning drive, 37 seconds of football for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones, oh, by the way, 19 carries, 82 yards, and a touchdown. Pittsburgh's at Green Bay. This cannot be less than 6. I'll say 6.
You're way late. Well, it's 7.
7.
My power ratings come to 10.
Oh, man.
Well, like I said, at Green Bay, one of 2 teams in the league that I give the full 3-point home field advantage. I watched the Steelers game, unfortunately. But they just looked like a dead team to me. They just looked dead. And, whoever the Twitter guy was said, we're seeing that right now in Pittsburgh.
We saw it all last year, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think Big Ben, to me, he's a Hall of Famer. I guess a lot of people, he's a borderline.
He's a
Hall of Famer.
For sure, he's a Hall of Famer.
He kept that team afloat for a long time, but I said going into this year, their offensive line couldn't be any worse than it was last year. I may have to look at that again because they're pretty bad. I mean, he gets no time. They can't run the ball.
He's tough to watch in the way that Peyton Manning was tough to watch at the end.
Yeah, but Peyton actually won a Super Bowl that year that he was
Well,
tough
he ended
to watch.
Up on the right team.
Yeah, he ended up on the right team. T.J. Watt was out, and when he went out the week before in the first
that
quarter.
That changed that whole game.
Changed the whole game. He didn't show up. He wasn't there yesterday. The other guys actually played, Hayden and Bush, so I thought the defense would be okay. They weren't. But, I mean, there were some other things going on. The offense didn't help them at all. But I'll open 7. I see some, 7 even money. Like, there's still, I guess, some Steeler believers out there. Don't count me among them. They look bad to me. And maybe it's just the power of negative thinking for myself, kind of like parlay with the Jets.
Right.
But my power ratings come to 10. I knew that would be a diminishing returns type of thing. But this should be a solid 7 and Well, I'll tell you what, I'd lay the 7 before I take it, I could tell you that.
I still get back to when Big Ben was like, no, I'll take a pay cut this offseason, right? No, I'll take a pay cut. And you cannot convince me otherwise that the Steelers brass was like, oh, no. uh-oh, he's going to take a pay cut. He had to say it out loud. Because it's like he's the legend for that team. They can't publicly say otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, now we have to have him as
well. What were their alternatives, though? Mason Rudolph.
They secretly
and Dwayne Haskins,
they secretly hoped that Dwayne Haskins was going to be a reclamation project.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
He's probably not.
And Mason Rudolph, great arm, but man, he has zero mobility, even like in the pocket. He just can't maneuver at all.
Oh well, add him to the list of franchises that is on the way down and not on the way up. Primetime games, including Tampa Bay, New England. Oh, I know that's coming. And then we have to talk about the Chargers. We have yet to get to a Chargers game. What a interesting finish that was. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, Guessing Lines, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, Chrissy Andrews here as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jamie Wolf, the Jets are at 37.5 yards per point. That, sir, is atrocious. Wow. Mr. G at War Eagle Fan 2323. So much for the long shot Heisman ticket. Talking about Tyler, how's it pronounced? Shug? Out until November after suffering a broken collarbone for Texas Tech. Cody at Lutz Cody 182. Broncos team total still under 10.5 at DraftKings. That's all we need to know about who they've beaten so far. Early value NFL, Ross McDowell, who had me on his podcast, kind enough to have me on his podcast this last week across the pond. He said, Sides week was a superb 3-1 with Gil winning both his picks. Leaves us at 7-2 after 3 weeks.
Hey. I listen to those guys. I can almost understand what they're saying.
If you ever listen to my buddy Dave Kellner and those guys do their golf picks, you cannot understand a word. And that's why it's wonderful to listen to. It's like when Dan Weston comes on and says, they're friendless in the market, Gil. Yeah. Friendless. Terrible imitation. Crying Kenny, Mickey, 270216. More praise for you again, Gil. Guessing Lines, great show. You and Chris compliment each other so well. Love it. We have a ball doing it. Rich PSM, love the Holy Trinity reference for Survivor. Guess we got to figure out who's the son who comes back to win this year. But oy vey, I'm Jewish. Kenny G, can you ask Chris what his biggest liability last week in college or NFL? Enjoy the show. Thanks. What was your biggest liability this past week? Can't remember. Okay. And on and on. Jeff, we have a basketball note. Kyrie Irving, real quick.
Yeah, so NBA media day across the board for everyone. Kyrie Irving's going to have to do his via Zoom because of New York City health and safety protocols. So it's a little bit different than the NBA health and safety protocols.
Well, bigger than that, though. If he doesn't get vaccinated, he doesn't play home games.
Well, yes. Again, we're not 100% certain on it, but based off of the way that is worded, you can draw your conclusions.
Right. File that away. All right, Sunday night. What you got?
I think Brady's going back to Foxborough. It's the Buccaneers and the Patriots.
I hadn't heard that yet.
So I heard about we were just talking off air with John Goulet about this. The Adele slow jam montage last night with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Hello. It's just hilarious. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth found it not amusing at all. The thing about this game is it's actually not that good of a game. And Tampa Bay just got beat by the Rams, so they're going to be ornery. And Tom Brady and Gronk are going to want to have 5 touchdown passes between them in this game. Tampa Bay's 10-game win streak snapped with that loss to the Rams yesterday. That's a streak including the playoffs. Brady was 41 of 55 for 432. Is he good? 1 touchdown, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. 3 carries, 14 yards. He did have a quarterback sneak touchdown. Mike Evans, 8 catches, 106. The Buccaneers have not had a carry of longer than 10 yards this season. They have allowed 9 touchdown passes this season in 3 games. And then there's New England, Mac Jones, 30 of 51 yesterday for 270. 1 touchdown, 3 picks. That was the big thing. And 2 sacks, sacked twice. In that loss to New Orleans, Kendrick Bourne, 6 catches for 96 yards and a nice touchdown. Jacoby Myers, the law firm of Jacoby Myers, 9 catches for 94 yards. But the first 5 possessions of the game for New England, 4 punts, 1 was blocked, and a pick. And they were -3 in turnovers. Those were all the Mac Jones picks. There was the interception that led to the second New Orleans touchdown, a pick 6 that wasn't actually Mac Jones's fault, and then the end of the game interception. By the way, I wish we had that video. Did you see the video when they asked Bill Belichick after the game? Like, Bill, what did you see on Mac's 3 interceptions? And Bill Belichick, in a very uncomfortable, like 18-second response, is like, you know, probably the same thing you saw. Just horrible. Tampa Bay minus 7 on the road.
You're a little high.
Hey, I'm high.
6.5. I'm going to open at 6.5. My power rating's actually come a little lower, but I don't think I've downgraded New England nearly enough. I got to go take another look at that. Yesterday, two extremely sharp outfits bet on New Orleans. And the more I kind of look at that, I don't think they were betting on New Orleans as much as they were betting against New England. So I have to redo my power rating a little bit because I would have my pure power ratings would have this game like a 4. But even as I'm writing them down, oh, that is way too light.
I think it's going to be bet up to 7 by the end of this show.
Okay. Well,
that's what I think. By the
maybe.
End of
well, we only Lombardi. Have a few more minutes left.
By the end of Lombardi line.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's possible. But let me go on record right now.
Yeah.
The wise guys will come in on the dog. They might not get there, but they'll come in on the dog.
I think Tom Brady is going to want to score 50 points. And how's New England going to keep up with their scoring?
Yeah. I mean, and I know that everybody, you know, the kind of like the mantra, oh, Jones, he's just like Brady.
No.
Nobody's just like Brady.
Nobody.
You know, I hate to say it. Unless we could somehow clone Joe Montana into a 23-year-old, nobody's just like Brady.
Monday night, Jeff.
It's a good one. The Raiders at the Chargers.
Raiders 3-0 for the first time in 19 years. 75% of 3-0 teams this century have made the playoffs. Derek Carr against the Dolphins. 26 up, 43 for 386, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 3 times. Peyton Barber, the peripatetic. Look that up. Peyton Barber, 23 carries for 111 yards and a touchdown, 3 catches for 31. Edwards, 3 for 89. Ruggs, 4 for 78. Renfro, 5 for 77 and a touchdown. Waller, 5 for 54. That's been the thing with Raiders box scores. Derek Carr spreads the ball around like nobody else. 8 of 15 on third downs were the Dolphins in their overtime win against the Dolphins. 497 total yards. And then there's the Chargers, who beat the Chiefs. And we mentioned earlier, their refusal to advance interceptions was the funniest quirk of that game to me. The last Mahomes pick was the worst of those two little quirks. But 4th and 4, here's the closing sequence of this game. It's tied. And Mahomes throws the pick, 1:55 left in the game. 4th and 4 at the Kansas City 31-yard line with 48 seconds left. The Chargers line up to go for it in a tie game. And then they have a false start. And then 4th and 9 at the KC 36 with 48 seconds left, they go again, PI on the defense. PIs all over the league yesterday.
Yeah.
This one was legit, though. 1st and 10, I guess they feel Justin Herbert is just that good. And by the way, their field goal kicker, Tristan Vizcaino, missed an extra point earlier. Maybe they just think he's that bad that they decided we're going for it. But then they just kept passing. So instead of milking the clock down to the end and just kicking a chip shot field goal, 16-yarder to Mike Williams, then a 4-yard touchdown pass to Mike Williams. So 2 plays later, with 32 seconds left, the Chargers are up, but you left Patrick Mahomes 32 seconds. A very curious way to play it. Herbert ends up 26 of 38 for 281, 4 touchdowns, no picks, sacked once. Austin Ekeler, 11 carries for 55, 6 catches for 52 and a touchdown. Mike Williams, 7 for 122, 2 touchdowns. Keenan Allen, 8 for 50 and a touchdown. Chargers were plus 4 in turnovers. As we said earlier with the Chiefs, that was everything. That was everything. Chiefs turnovers on their first 3 possessions of the game. Very interesting how Brandon Staley played that. No one can convince me it was the right way to play it, but it worked out for him. And Justin Herbert, I got a 40-1 on Justin Herbert last week to win MVP. I'll say Chargers minus 4.
You're a little high. It's virtually, well, I shouldn't say never that, but it's 3.5 pretty much everywhere. I do see 1-4. I see 3 with a ton of juice, 31 cents on the juice. My power rating came to 3.5. I'm going to open 3.5. I think that's a really good place to start. You know, Derek Carr. I mean, I had a million questions about him, which it seems like Gruden did.
Everybody did. Yeah,
he's turned into a pretty good quarterback.
That deep ball he throws now, where he just like teardrops it up in the air.
I mean, this kid is not bad. He's a pretty good quarterback. I mean, you could win with Derek Carr. So I think 3.5 is a good number, and that should be a really good Monday night game next week.
Speaking of teardrops, with 37 seconds left, that Aaron Rodgers pass to Devontae Adams
unbelievable.
On first down was
There's like 5 guys right there.
It's like, no way. And then when you show the angle from behind him, you're like, how does he do that?
I don't know.
It's incredible.
I don't know.
So in the end, so last week, the ones that I liked the best were Arizona, I thought was too light against the Jaguars. That turned out to be good. And then I liked the Chargers getting 6.5 against the Chiefs. Those both worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the two I like the best, not very sexy. I think I like Detroit catching a field goal against the Bears. And I think I like Baltimore catching whatever I'm catching at Denver. Hopefully it gets to three.
Yeah, it might get to three. Here's the ones I like. I like Miami against a bad Colts team. More of a bet against the Colts than on Miami. I like the Eagles. I think Chiefs are still overrated. We say this every year that this will be different with the Super Bowl loser. And I like the 49ers against, again, I think a very overrated Seahawks team.
Okay. Chrissy Andrews, now you're going to post them all behind us.
One amendment.
We got to go.
I'm going to open the Dolphins 2.5.
Dolphins 2.5. Thank you for listening. Guessing Lines, Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. Lombardi Line next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.